The book of Hosea, chapter number 3. Hosea was the prophet that God had commanded to marry a woman by the name of Gomer. Hosea and Gomer, they made a home and a family together. And Hosea's marriage and Hosea's home were a picture or a symbol of God's relationship with Israel. And Israel was unfaithful to God. They had stepped outside and committed spiritual adultery on the Lord in that they loved the things of the world and not the things of God. They served false gods rather than the Lord God. And God told Hosea that his wife Gomer would prove to be unfaithful to him, and at least two times she had children fathered by other men. And she strayed away from the home and from the marriage, and finally she was not even in the picture whatsoever in Hosea's life. And Hosea took those estranged children along with his own child, brought them into his home and raised them like they were his very own children. And God's treating Israel the same way. Israel is still continued to be loved, though they've committed adultery on the Lord. And at the close of chapter 2, Hosea had warned Israel about straying in their relationship with God, and that for that, God was going to cause them to go into captivity in the wilderness by the hands of Assyria. But God said the good news is, in the long run, that God is going to reach out to her in the wilderness and he's going to allure her. Now the word allure is a strong, drawing, persuading influence on someone. And God's going to reach out and draw Israel back to himself in the midst of a wilderness. And the result of the reach of God is God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And the result is that Israel is going to repent and turn back to the Lord God Almighty. And they're going to get right with God. Now again, if Israel is and the relationship they have with God is a picture of Hosea's relationship with his wife Gomer, if Israel's going to be restored, guess what? Hosea's home along with Gomer will one day be restored. That's good news, amen. Now let's pick up that story in Hosea chapter 3 verse 1. And we want to look first of all tonight at the command of the Lord. Verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go, yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. In verse 1, God says, Hosea, I want you to go and love this woman who is an adulteress. Now I'm sure this is going to be difficult for Hosea to do. To love a woman that was once his wife, who has strayed and had many relationships with other men, and now is probably living with one of her illicit lovers. God said, I want you to go and love her. And I want you to go and love a woman beloved of her friend. You know what that's? Statement means that there's a man beloved of her friend means there's a man that loves Gomer. She's living with another man and this man loves her. And yet God says, Hosea, I want you to go back and love this woman, though she's treated you spitefully, though she's committed adultery on you, though she's hurt you, your home, and your children, I want you to love her again. Now, I'm sure Hosea in his heart of hearts still has affection and love for her. But because of the way she's treated him, he's bitter towards her. So there is a love-hate relationship with the prophet and his wife. Now the scripture says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, maybe in your own home, maybe it's not that someone has strayed and committed adultery on you, but maybe your wife or your husband or something has done something that has hurt you deeply and you're wounded. But the Bible says that we're to love each other and to be not bitter against each other. Make sure in your marriage or in your home or with the relationship with your friends or with your mom and dad do not have a love-hate relationship. Amen? Now, those are deep words right here. Hosea, this husband, has every right to divorce himself from this situation. I want you to listen to these verses. Matthew chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Hosea's wife committed adultery on him. And he has every right, first of all, to stone her to death. But he loves her, and he didn't stone her. But he also is bitter towards her. So he could divorce himself from her and be inside the Word of God, could he not? God permits divorce in times of fornication. Now, are you listening? Look his way. I know it's going to be tough. God permits it, but he did not command it. Are you with me? God permits divorce, but he did not say you have to get divorced. God can restore and repair any relationship. And God told Hosea, who could have stoned her, who could have divorced her, God told Hosea, you go and yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. She's still in adultery, you go love her anyway. I'm sure that was hard to do. Let me say this to you, this is going to get deep. Love is about the will. Let me say that again. Love is about the will. There's some of us that believe that we are captured by love and we're swept off our feet by love and we follow love wherever it takes us and whatever it takes us to. But Scripture proves differently. It is the will of God that loves you. Amen. And you have a choice as to whether you will love God or reject God. And you have a choice as to whom you're going to love in your life. I have sat down with so many people who've come and said, we are no longer in love. Preacher, we have fallen out of love. You see, you assume that love is beyond or outside your will. But I want to say to you tonight that if God told Hosea, you go back and love her, that it is about the will, Hosea submitting himself to the will of God to go love this person once more. And I want to say to you that because you say you fell out of love or we're no longer in love, that is not grounds for divorce. The preacher said, till death do you part. Not till you say, I fell out of love. You know, when you tell me, preacher, we've fallen out of love, let me tell you what you're really saying. It's not my will to love this person anymore. I'm moving on. And I'm going to say that I'm not in love anymore so I can move on and justify my actions. God's Word tells us that marriages and relationship with friends can be mended and can be repaired. And do you know how it's done? It's done by, first of all, complying ourselves with the Word of God, adding ourselves to the will of God, and then taking the Word of God a hold in our lives and trusting Him with it. Friend, I want to say to you tonight, you may come and say, preacher, I beg to differ. I believe that love just swept me off my feet. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you allowed it to happen. Now, we're talking about some deep water right there. Love is about your will. You choose who you love and you choose who you don't. Amen? I'm thankful tonight that God said, Hosea, you go love a woman though she's been unfaithful. You go love a woman though she's still living in adultery. You go love a woman, though another man still loves her. I'm sure this is going to be hard for Hosea to accomplish. But look what God told him. He said, you go love her according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. God said, you go love this woman that's been unfaithful to you the way I love Israel. They've chased other gods, and they have chased the things of the world, and I still love them. And though they've been captured by their own will to reject me, I still love them. And I'm going to reach out to them. Hosea, I want you to reach out to your wife the way I'm going to reach out to Israel. Can I say to you tonight, aren't you glad that God was willing to reach out to you and to me? We that were wretched, we that were miserable, we that were deplorable, friend, God in His infinite love reached out to you and I that you and I might be redeemed. Bless His holy name tonight. Hosea is directed. Hosea is commanded to go and love this woman. Now I want to ask you this question. This is deep water. Is it easier for you to hold a grudge or to reach out and love? It's easier for you to hold the grudge. That's why you hold the grudge. That's why you harbor the grudge. Because it's about your will. And I want to persuade you tonight that God can mend friendships that were broken. God can mend marriages that were broken if you'll allow Him to. Amen? So number one, in the very first verse, we see the command of the Lord. Number two, in verse two, we want to see the cost of loyalty. The scripture says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. In verse 2, Hosea did not argue with God. When God said, you go yet love a woman that's an adulteress, a woman that's beloved of her friend, a woman who's treated you wrong, a woman who's unfaithful, you go love her. Hosea didn't argue with God. You'll sit here tonight and argue with the preacher, and argue with the Word of God, and argue with the will of God. But friend, you won't get by with it. Hosea did not argue with God. He was obedient to the voice of God, and he went and bought her. Let me tell you what's happened here. Gomer, who strayed away from the marriage for one night, for two nights, for a week, and kept coming back and going out and coming back and going out, finally she just left, started living with somebody else. And that man kicked her out. Then she went to another fella, and he eventually kicked her out. And now, Gomer is on the auction block. She's being sold as a slave. That's why Hosea bought her. Do you realize what kind of slave she was? She wasn't a merry maid. She wasn't someone who's going to come clean the house and someone who's going to fetch the water. She's being sold as a sex slave. She is standing on the auction block completely nude, completely ashamed. There she stands. But see, these are the consequences of her lifestyle. It's what she's come to. And there she is on the auction block being sold. And Hosea comes and he sees his wife standing nude, hearing other men bid on his wife. And Hosea becomes the highest bidder. He says, I'll give 15 shekels of silver, a homer and a half of barley. Now understand, barley is poor man's food. All over the scripture it's pointed out. I believe that Hosea was a peasant, farmer, preacher. I don't believe he had a whole lot. According to the best I can study, 15 shekels of silver would have been more than 1 year's earnings for Hosea. When he saw his wife in that deplorable condition under the command and direction of Almighty God, through the love of the Holy Ghost that's been shed abroad in their heart, he said, I'll give more than 1 year's earnings. I'll give all I have in the bank. I'll give all I have in my home. I'll give everything I have to redeem her back. He gave everything. Friend, it's all you can do to extend a handshake that won't cost you anything to mend or restore a relationship. You won't even give simple forgiveness. And yet, Hosea came and gave everything that he had that this woman might be redeemed. I think about Jesus, don't you? There you and I were, naked, in sin, wretched, deplorable, the devil bidding for us, going to take us to hell and destroy us. But God saw us. Whew. Hallelujah. Sent his son to a cruel Roman cross and said, I want you to take their sins and take them upon your own self. And I want you to give your life on the cross. Jesus said, Father, I'll go. And he laid down his life on that cruel Roman cross. When God gave a payment for us, we that were sinners, he gave all that he had. He gave the very life of his own darling son on a cruel Roman cross that you and I might be redeemed. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you what, that puts a stir in my step and a shout in my soul to know how much he loved me. When the devil was bidding for me on the auction block of sin, Jesus came by our way and paid our price of redemption. I'm telling you, friend, if you're going to be loyal or obedient, there'll be a cost to it. Obedience will cost you something, but the reward will be more than the cost. What about that, friend? Number three tonight, in verse number 3, I want you to see the choice of love. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Hosea comes to that auction block and sees his wife stripped down and has to go and suffer through the bidding of other men on his wife. And he bids the highest price, all that he has, that she might be redeemed. And the auctioneer lays down the gavel and says, sold to the highest bidder. And he walks up and takes his wife by the hand and takes off his own royal prophet's regalia robe, probably covered her shame and her nakedness. I think about how Jesus came when you and I had our old righteousness, which was filthy garments. You and I were stripped down and deplorable. He came with garments of salvation, did he not? Washed our sins in his blood and put his righteous robe upon us that you and I might be redeemed. Glory to God, that excites me to death tonight, church, how Jesus has covered a multitude of our sins. And he looks at his wife and he says, I've come to take you home. Amen. Though she's been unfaithful, though she's been wicked, Hosea's offering her a home. Amen. I want to say, hell is not my home tonight. Jesus has saved my soul, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven, a city so fair, prepared for the redeemed of God. Hey, I'm on my way tonight to a new home, and that excites my soul tonight. Amen. I think then where he says to her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. Hosea saying to her, Gomer, I want your wicked lifestyle to cease. I want you to be devoted to me. I want you to look to me as a husband. You remember in the last chapter when God says, when Israel gets right, no longer will they call me Bala, they will call me Ishai. What does that mean? The word Bala means master, and the word Ishai means husband. God says, when Israel gets right, they won't call me a master anymore, they're going to call me husband. You see, there's a difference, amen, between serving someone as your master and serving someone as a right relationship in a marriage, a husband serving with a wife, amen. There's a change of relationship for Israel. And now you see it with Hosea and you see it with Gomer. He says, girl, I've come to take you home, amen. And I'm restoring you into a right relationship back into our home. And he says, I want you to be devoted to me, devoted to our home, and devoted to our children. Friend, can I say this tonight? That not only is love about your will, and I know I saw the look on your face. Some of you did not agree or did not like what I had to say right there. But what I said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It is about your will, and I pray you'd submit your will to the will of God. But not only is love about the will, love has its demands. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. God loves me unconditionally. He does. But he's got some expectations out of you. He's got some demands for your life. He loves Israel too, but because they're in sin, he's going to send them through the chastisement of captivity. Hey, if you belong to God tonight and you want to commit adultery on him, he's still going to love you unconditionally, but he may discipline you. Amen. God has some demands. God has some expectations. Listen, my wife and I, we've been married 24 years, and she and I have some expectations out of each other. I expect she's going to be faithful to me. She expects I'm going to be faithful to her. We have some demands for one another. I don't know how your home is, but this open policy don't work, honey. Amen? God has a demand. God has an expectation out of us. It's in John chapter 14. Turn there with me. The book of John. Turn there. John chapter 14. I could quote this. You could quote it to me, but I want you to underline it in your Bible tonight. John chapter 14, verse number 15. Love has demands. Love has expectations. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? God expects you and I to keep his word, to honor his word, to honor his house, to honor his people. God has some expectations and some demands out of our lives and our walk and our fellowship with him tonight. Amen? Now remember again, the prophet Hosea, as he goes to get his wife off that auction block and he pays the price, the ultimate price for her, and he's covered her with his robes of righteousness and he's given her a home once more, a place of belonging. Can you see her as she says, Hosea, thank you. Hosea, because of what you've done, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Understand? Hosea is saying, I don't need you to serve me as a slave. I don't need a slave. I need a wife. Amen. I don't need a nanny for the children. The children need a mother. We're not in a master-slave relationship. We're in a husband-wife relationship. There should be mutual love and demands and expectations from each other. And we're going to work together on it. Hosea said all these things to Gomer. And can you see as she's knelt down there as he lifts her up? Hey, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ lifts us up in due season. Amen. And encourages our hearts that you and I might walk with him. Hey, look at the end of that verse, number 3. He says, so will I also be for thee. He's pledging his love and his promise of restoration is coming to her. Friend, I'll say to you tonight, I don't care how wicked and worldly you've been, God loves you. He desires for you and him to walk together in fellowship and have a right relationship. He desires that not only for you and him, but he desires that for you and your husband, for you and your wife. Hey, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, preacher, I've fallen out of love. Well, you better fall back in. Well, you just don't know how bad it's been in my home. I'm telling you, my wife burnt supper and I'm mad. My husband didn't get home on time. I had supper waiting at 5 and he walked in at 5:30 and things got cold. And you got a microwave. Use it. Don't get divorced. Preacher, you're making it sound so easy. Preacher, you're making it sound. Listen, it's more difficult than that. It'll not be more difficult than what Hosea had to go through. You talk about going through the crucible of domestic difficulty, Hosea's got to do it. Yes, I know you've been wrong. Yes, I know you've been hurt. But I'm going to tell you what, the love of God lives in our hearts and our lives, and there can be restoration in our marriages, in our friendships, in our relationships, in your working situation, in your environment. There can be. It's getting quieter and quieter, ain't it? Preacher, I'm feeling pretty good about where I am right now. I like carrying these grudges. Let me tell you what, a grudge is nothing more than stink and trash. You come in here tonight, look, you've got a trash bag tied to your leg. And it stinks. And ain't no wonder nobody wants to be around you much. Huh? You say, well, nobody will notice. Look at that line of stuff you've been dragging around. It's time to let that go. Fall back in love. Get back right with God. See what will happen. Well, I'm telling you, I'm mad. You can get unmad. I pray the Holy Ghost to get all over you. You and your wife may have had a fight before church. Her curling iron didn't work quick enough. She is running a little late. Hurry, 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 you said, honking the horn in the car. But you got out here in the parking lot and got dignified. Said, we'll fight when we get home, but when we're at church, we'll sit beside each other and we'll smile and we'll act all right. I'm telling you what we've had is a parking lot miracle. Amen? But I'm trying to save y'all from when you go home and you get in trouble. You may say, oh, preacher, we don't ever fight. You're a liar. You're a liar. I'll never forget. I've told it before. I'll tell it again. Man, I'd been to the altar. Been such a great service. I wanted a fellowship with God. I was drawing closer and closer to Him. And in that altar, I said, God, I want to get rid of all my wretchedness. I want to confess to you the condition of my heart. I'm just not right with you, and I want you to show me my heart so I can confess these sins to you. There are things in there that I know not of. I'm sure it's there. And God, if you'll bring it to the surface, I want to get rid of it. Whew. Sounded good. We went home. We got pulled in the garage. My wife said something I didn't much care for. Something about what we're going to do tomorrow, I think. And I kind of snapped at her about it. But she said, it's your responsibility, and she snapped back. And next thing I knew, yes, we said a few words to each other back and forth in kindness, which started spinning out of control. And next thing I knew, I was pretty aggravated. She went one way, and I went the next. I went upstairs. I went stomping up them steps. I took my coat off and yanked my towel, and I slammed that down on the bed. And God said, hello. You remember me? That relationship you and I just had, the fellowship we just had in that altar about 10 minutes ago before you drove to your house and had words with your wife, you asked me to show your heart. I'm just telling you, you have temper, you have anger, you have insensitivity towards your wife. You got problems, son. Not me, Lord. Her. The woman you sent me is not, she's, something happened to her tonight. Lord said, showed you your heart. You can agree with me or not. I got on my knees. I said, oh God, I'm so ashamed. Want to be a Christian and live right. Want to have a relationship with you and a relationship with my family. And you're right. I'm a bonehead. Got right with God. God said, that's good. Now go tell her. I said, but God, you're God. I don't need to talk to her. I talk to you. My forgiveness comes through you. God said, you go tell her you're sorry. God, I really am sorry, but you go tell her you're sorry. Whew, that's different, ain't it? Huh? Man, I come down them steps different than the way I went up. She was in there in the kitchen. I mean, dishes was a-flying, you know. She was a-washing and throwing, and man, you know. I went in there, and I said, honey, I need to talk to you. I just put my hands up behind her there, and she spun around. I thought she was going to get one of them big frying pans. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I spoke too quick. I'm too rash. I'm wrong with it. Would you forgive me of where I've messed up? You know what she did? She said, I'm sorry too. And I kissed her. Preacher, you can't talk about that in the pulpit. It's my wife, my business. I'm telling you what, we made up. Hey, fighting's no good if you don't make up. Some of you fellas all say, glory to God, preacher. Amen? The biggest thing we can do in our homes is just learn that we've got to get along with one another and love each other. And love is about the will. Amen? So we see number three, verse number three, he says his pledges, his love to her. It was a choice of love. Fourthly tonight in verse number four, I want you to see the consequences of living in sin. Now, we're going back to Israel. Israel has been deceived. They're serving false gods. They're loving the things of God rather than the things of the world. Listen what God says about them. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Preacher, what does that mean? Because of Israel's sin, they've grown distant from the Lord. Because of Gomer's sin, she ended up on the auction block, right? Because of Israel's sin, they're going into captivity. God said that they've grown distant from me, and they've become deaf to the truth. You realize how many people I preach to every Sunday that are deaf to the truth of God? They sit here, but they don't want to hear it, or they will not hear it. They sit here, and they cannot hear it, because their hearts won't get right with God. It's terrible, isn't it? The consequences of sinful living will bring devastation and discipline. That's a devastation of the people and discipline from the Lord. Look what he says. I'm going to chastise them and put them in Assyrian captivity. He said, because they're going to abide many days without a king and without a prince. In other words, when they're in captivity in the wilderness, they'll have no political leader. Assyria will have rule over them. He said, they will be without a sacrifice. In other words, they cannot practice serving God. You can't serve God without a sacrifice in the Old Testament. God said, I'll take that away. He said, the ephod and the teraphim, those are things that are worn by the high priest. He says, I'm going to take away your spiritual guidance. Can you see the consequences of sin? Israel fell into depravity. They're in terrible shape. But number five, I want you to see the conversion of life. Verse five. Afterward. After what? After this wilderness experience. After this captivity, after the chastisement and discipline of God, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. You see, what's going to happen is God's going to reach out. In the fallen state of Israel, he's going to reach out. He's going to allure her, going to draw her by his power. To allure someone is to, I'm going to romance her. I'm going to persuade her with my influence, and I'm going to speak comfortably to her. I'm going to woo her. Let me tell you what, son, best thing you can do in your marriage is keep wooing your wife. Amen? Best thing you can do, young lady, is just keep loving your husband. Amen? And the Lord says, I'm going to reach out to her. And a result of my reach, the Bible says in Isaiah 50, verse 2, God said, is my hand shortened at all? That it cannot redeem? Here's the answer. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God reaches out to Israel in the wilderness of captivity. And the result of his reach is the repentance of Israel, the return to seeking the Lord God, the release from captivity, and they're going to come back into their own land one day. There is restoration in Hosea's house, restoration to the nation of Israel. Now tonight, presently speaking, this scripture means more than just Hosea's day. This scripture speaks about a day called the rapture, when the church is taken home. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Israel has rejected their Messiah. Jesus died for their sins too, and they've rejected him. And they're going to enter into the tribulation, and they're going to be a captive there at the hands of the Antichrist. But God is going to allure her. He's going to reach down to her and draw her and speak comfortably with her, and Israel will realize we've made a mistake. We've looked to the Antichrist and he's a counterfeit. He's an imposter. We've been deceived. We've been deaf to the things of God. We've been distant from the Lord. Oh God, would you forgive us of our sins? We realize now that Jesus died to save us, and we look to your Son, and Israel will be saved. All those that call on him during that time will be spared. When the Lord Jesus comes back, he will defeat the Antichrist and all his armies. But there will be believers on this earth that are saved. The Bible says in Revelation, a number that no man can number. Many of them will be Israelites, Jews. Many of them will be Gentiles as well. But God will spare her. And look, the Bible says David would be her king again. Hey, guess what? Jesus, when he comes back, is going to occupy the throne of David in Jerusalem during the time of millennium. The scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Preacher, is David going to sit back on the throne? No, the Son of David, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, will occupy that throne forever and ever and ever. Tonight, as we close, I want to say to you that a broken relationship can be repaired. If you've a broken relationship with the Lord, it can be repaired. If you've got a broke relationship in your marriage, it can be repaired. If you've got a broke relationship in your friendships or whatever's going on here, it can be repaired. Hey, the Bible said where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. I know people can change for bad and for the worse. But when we turn to Jesus, we can change for the good. Hey, don't dig the grave yet. Turn to the Lord. Watch what will happen.